of Evolver.fm, which we're pretty sure is the first consumer-facing publication about music apps. So the basic thinking, I'll get into what I'm really going to show you, which is some of the weirdest music apps out there as a demonstration of the sort of possibilities that exist in this new medium. But as a little bit of background, I used to review hardware MP3 players at CNET, before the iPod came out. And when the iPod did come out, it became kind of a silly job because everybody bought the iPod, and I'm writing about the 50th best hardware MP3 player in the world, which nobody cares about. So what's really interesting right now, and what makes me interested in reviewing music players again, is that on a philosophical kind of level, the same thing that happened to music in the late 90s, which is it turned into invisible ones and zeros that could get traded around, the same thing has now happened to the player itself. So, you would never buy 30 or 40 different MP3 players, each with a specific function, but you would easily install that many apps. So we're seeing this sort of flowering of diversity and just some weird stuff. So I picked intentionally some of the weirdest music apps that I've seen in about a little over a year of doing this Evolver.fm site. I should add that our publisher is the Echo Nest, which some of you might be familiar with. They're a sort of big data music company. I guess we're not supposed to say big data today or something, but they've got what we're pretty sure is the biggest database about music. So they power Spotify Radio and MTV Music Meter and stuff like that. But they are my publisher. That's why it says Echo Nest up there. So, this part is, I was at Wired.com for 5 years, and this is kind of just ripped off from the Wired.com approach of just writing tech articles. We syndicate it to Wired and Gizmodo and Billboard and CNET, Huffington Post, Hypebot, and maybe Time Magazine possibly soon, too. I'll get to the app soon. We're also putting together this curated database of music apps with filters that you won't find in the app stores. Does it work with AirPlay? What category is it? We've got these subcategories that are not in iTunes or anything. iTunes kind of shows you all the music apps, and we're curating just the good ones and then slicing them up by these categories to make it easier to find. Okay, now on to the stuff. CrowdJuke. This is part of a really big trend right now. This is actually the side project of a guy at Facebook, Matt Kelly. He made this at a Music Hack Day event, which is where people build incredible stuff and make me jealous because I'm an English major and I can't build any of this stuff myself. So what this does is it hasn't launched yet, which is why I have this silly slide, but you're throwing a party and you put a Facebook RSVP up. And when people RSVP to the party, the Facebook open graph, you could do it with Last.fm too, but they do it with Facebook, obviously, because the guy who made it works at Facebook. And it's sort of, once you RSVP, it grabs your music preferences, your likes, your listening behavior on all the Facebook Connect apps, and starts to build a playlist for the party. And everybody who RSVPs, their taste contributes to this playlist. So, you'll have some mix of making everybody happy and nobody happy, but by checking in, you influence what's going to be played. And there are a few other things doing this. There's, this sort of crowdsourcing playlist at actual venues thing. And for bars and restaurants, there's a big motivation to do something like this because, people have to, you can make them check in on Foursquare to influence the playlist. Suddenly they're spamming all of their friends that they're at your restaurant or your bar. So they have a motivation to do stuff like this. And culturally, the side effect is interesting because those of us who don't care about our privacy are going to be the ones controlling the music in the venues where the people who don't share their music. So the way I put it was that the world will shape itself to please social butterflies, and those of us that are a little more paranoid, we just won't like the music. So that's up to us. That's our call. This is a bizarre thing. Pug Love Beats and Pug Synth. These Scottish developers built these. What these are is two pugs that make tones. You tap the screen to have them sing. You change the tones with their outfits, and you can play along with the music on your phone. So it's like I just love that. I mean, you know, it's kind of a novelty, but who cares? You know, this is a perfect demonstration of a piece of hardware that nobody would ever pay $200 for in a million years. But if it's like a free download or a dollar or two, it's amusing. So this is what I like about covering this space. Yes, Frederick, the Resurrection of Music. So this is sort of a Guitar Hero type game. But you are Frederick Chopin, and you have been resurrected from the dead. And you have three muses who have been hired by a large fast food chain to compose themes for their Greek salad. And you have to battle nine bosses. One of them is a French electronica artist who plays the cyber banjo. I mean, it's so deeply weird. But somehow this was the most popular music game in seven countries on iTunes at one point. So, like, go figure. I mean, I love the bizarreness of this. But it actually is a fun game, and you really are playing Chopin on an actual piano in the game. So, pretty sweet. Note Flight. So this is a pretty well-known, I think, composition tool. It's a web-based thing, you know, a cloud-based composer. You pick which notes you want and you drop them in the score, and it plays you the tones on, like, with a normal piano sound. So you can sort of hear what you're composing in real time and share it and stuff like that. But the part that really blew me away with this one is a feature that they put together at a Music Hack Day, where if you can compose some of a melody and then pick what century or what style of music you're trying to do, and it knows, it's like they've processed all of these, I don't know how many hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of classical pieces from history, and you can say, well, I want this to be Baroque, and it'll actually use artificial intelligence to plug in the missing notes. So if you're trying to do something in a certain style, it can help you. And I think we're going to see this in, in like rock and all kinds of genres, this type of thing is possible. You know, it might be cheating, but it's maybe not as much as auto-tune, so anyway. Okay, Thicket is a beautiful-looking iPad game. I kind of can't believe Bjork didn't get a hold of these people for her biophilia thing. A lot of the instruments that we see on Evolver and in the app stores sort of replicate real-world stuff. You know, the Ocarina app, which I actually played on National Public Radio, the Ode to Joy, on my iPhone. It was like the most bizarre thing. But anyway, you know, we're all familiar with these piano apps and the virtual guitars. There's even the Futulele app that was on Gizmodo lately, where you have an iPhone and an iPad connected with an attachment that they're going to send me a prototype, and I'm going to film myself playing this thing. But you play ukulele chords, like strumming on the iPad and doing your frets on the iPhone, which is awesome. So you can expect that article. But this goes in the other direction. So this is like, you know, you've never seen an instrument that looks like this. It's sort of these graphical patterns, and you're able to finger paint with sound is the phrase that I need to think of another way. I've used that phrase for a lot of these apps. Got to be a better expression. But anyway, it's very relaxing, and you just kind of play with these shapes, and you're generating tones, and anybody can do it. It's not like, it's called Thicket. Thicket, like, you know, a bunch of bushes or something. And it is available. There are a few different versions of it, but they're all very fun, and I love the way they look. I mean, that it's so outside of the box. This is not somebody building, like, a digital trombone or something. I mean, this is just exploding the possibilities of what an instrument can be, and I think we're going to see a ton more stuff like that. This is a very strange app that's kind of fake, but I like it anyway. I guess there's, you know, people are always looking for embedded satanic messages in music. You know, I'm probably not the only one in this room who took, a Led Zeppelin album, and I actually unscrewed the cassette and flipped the reels and played it backwards and was trying to detect some messages. This looks at the ones and zeros in your MP3s and decides whether you're listening to a song that's been cursed or not. And it's basically, I mean, it's kind of like a random generator. I don't know how much actual analysis they're doing, but I just love the concept. And I think we're going to see more stuff like that, like looks at your library and tells you something about the music, whether it's real or just amusing. Heartbeat is unlaunched at this point. This app is designed to work with a heart rate monitor, and I guess doctors are able to tell how much pain you're in by what your heart rate is. I guess it goes up if you're experiencing chronic pain. So with this, a doctor would hook you up to this thing, and it figures out what your heartbeat is, it figures out what your heartbeat should be, and plays you songs from YouTube until it finds one that's calming you down and putting you back into a comfortable range. So it's like music biofeedback for people in chronic pain. I'm going to speed up here because I've got a bunch to get through. This isn't an app so much as a bizarre backwards wrong thing that I just love. So this is a Spotify radio, and those little discs are RFID chips, and you can assign any album or playlist to this thing, and then you just put it on the radio and it'll play that album. So you could actually, you know, get a little tiny record stack and be fingering your way through your music collection. You could lend a playlist to a friend if they had this thing, and they could just, you know, I hope when they release this, I think it's like a Swedish design student who made it as a prototype, but I think he's really going to sell it. And I hope that the discs actually spin just to complete the illusion. Let's see, where am I? Oh, that was called the Spotify box. Bootify, not many of us have brainwave detectors, but if you do, you know, maybe somebody will build a cheap one on Kickstarter or something. You sort of think thoughts. You can meditate and make your mind calm, or try to think about, you know, weird aggressive scenarios or something, and it'll pick your next Spotify song based on your brainwaves. So if you're calm, it'll pick a calm song. And you could really like work your way into a frenzy, because if the music's making you fired up, then the next song's going to even be more hectic. But yeah, it's a weird one. Bohemian Rhapsacord. This is Bohemian Rhapsody chopped into discrete chunks that you can sort in a bunch of ways, and then you can assign each chunk, well, or I guess as many keys as there are on the keyboard. You know, you assign each of these little colored chunks of the song to a spot on your keyboard, and you can play the song in any order. And, you know, I picture that actually being useful if you had a beat behind it. You could do like live remixes in a club, and you can dump any song into that. I believe that was made by Paul Lemire, who's actually from the Echo Nest, using their data. Turntable Extended, we're all familiar with Turntable. This, if you use Google Chrome, this app will augment the turntable experience. You know, part of the problem with turntables, you have to figure out what you're going to play all the time. So this looks at what's in your queue or what's being played by the other DJs and figures out suggestions for you to plug into your queue so that you get awesome, which everybody wants. It also shows you the tour dates of the bands that you're listening to in turntable. So the artists in the room probably appreciate that. Social radio for Twitter. This reads your tweets as you listen to music on any app. So you can listen to the music in your phone. You can listen to SoundCloud, Pandora, Spotify, Last.fm, anything. And when you get a new tweet, either to your main feed or about a certain topic, it goes, "You have a new tweet." And it turns the music to 50% volume and reads your tweets to you, which I like. Tomahawk, just try this. I'm going to not spend a lot of time on it, but if you haven't tried Tomahawk, check it out. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about it. It basically, all your computers, so your home computer, your work computer, your school computer, your other home computer, your friends' computers, Spotify, Last.fm, RDO, Official FM, all these sources, you can take one playlist of music and it will resolve to all these different places. You can see some of these songs are coming from YouTube, some of them are from Spotify, some are SoundCloud. So it basically takes us out of our silos that we're in. I mean, that's what's weird about being a music fan right now, is you're always locked into like one silo or another, and you should try this out if you haven't. Song Roulette, an unreleased Spotify app. I think Spotify is going to be releasing some new apps in the coming weeks. Oops, I don't know if I was supposed to say that. This may or may not be one of them. I honestly have no idea, but if you're listening to the same artist as somebody, this puts you up so you can chat together. And I heard somebody I was in a meeting with yesterday said that, you know, we might be going down the wrong path as an industry by assuming that social connections are some kind of indicator of musical taste. I don't know if you've seen the horrible music that your friends listen to on Facebook, but I'm kind of shocked by it. So what I like about this is that it flips that upside down. So you're meeting people through the music that you know you like, and then they become your friends instead of trying to force it to go the other way. This is a virtual music festival. You walk around as a little avatar, and the music changes in a 3D space depending on where you're standing. If you go past the beer tent, you hear him going like, "Beer's here." So it's just pretty rudimentary, but I think we're going to see stuff like this take off. And you can walk over to the DJ tent, and like that music gets louder and comes from the side. I'd love to see it as a TV app on surround sound systems. Okay, then I just want to put the word out to the developers in the room. There are two apps that I would make if I could, but I can't. One of them would be called Life Listen, which I've written about. You can Google it. I think Wired syndicated our article about it. I just want to be able to listen to like one station all day and have feedback from my life. Like if I have a calendar meeting coming up, I want it to say like, "You have a meeting with so-and-so in 5 minutes." The New York subway system has an API that tells you when the trains are coming. So I want that if I'm gonna miss the train by like a minute, I want the tempo of my music to increase so that I walk faster and I make my train. If it's gonna rain, you know, I want some song that has the word umbrella. You know, if I get tweets, I mean, like we saw with the social radio thing, you know, those could be integrated. Basically, we're overloading ourselves with information through our eyes, and I think our ears could help out a little bit. And plus, then we'd get to listen to music all day without missing meetings and stuff. So I personally need that. The other app that I want somebody to build is a windshield wiper detector. So we've got cameras on our phones, both sides. You know how magical it is when the music lines up with your windshield wipers in the rain? Except it's never quite there. It's like always just a little bit off. So this would adjust the tempo based on the windshield wipers, and you'd be like exactly in sync. So please build those. Anyway, thanks a lot.